Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Let's do the ramble.
Betty Boo's still doing the do, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. King Ralph has been confirmed and Messi won the Ballon d'Or. It's Tuesday, 30th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Vinicius Nandaraja.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Terrific Tuesday on the Football Ramble, you say? Well, that's about right. PT, how are you? How was your Cyber Monday yesterday?
It was great, mate. I spent all day hanging out with Lawnmower Man in cyberspace. It was great.
Lawnmower Man. Yeah. Vish, fresh off the set of Running Man.
Well, I haven't seen that film.
Have you not?
No.
Quite ahead of its time, actually. You don't often
about
say
the 4 minute mile.
People ran all the time.
Oh, you'll be surprised. I don't often say that about an Arnold Schwarzenegger film, ahead of its time.
You'd think they'd remake it, because that's all anybody fucking talks about, running, isn't it?
Actually, on literally all Arnold Schwarzenegger films ahead of his time, not even just The Terminator, he gave birth to a child.
Conan the Barbarian?
With Danny
not
DeVito.
Not ahead of his
time.
Yeah, depends when it came out.
When colour was here.
Well, whatever.
So you're saying that it's technically science fiction? Mr. Daddy, or what it's called. No, that was Hulk Hogan. Mr. Nanny.
What was that film called?
That was Mr.
Twins.
Nanny.
No, Twins was Danny DeVito being the brother.
That's ahead of his time.
Why is that ahead of its time?
They look different. It's like, when you're
younger. And he had a baby, didn't he?
Oh, that's true.
Junior.
Yeah. That's the stuff.
And he was a kindergarten cop before they introduced policemen into primary school.
That's true, actually.
You need to arm school teachers.
He's a Republican's dream.
So he turned out to be.
Yeah.
Governor of California.
Famously.
And all that. And nothing else said about that man. Well, who would have thought we'd start with Arnold Schwarzenegger, gentlemen, when QPR came back to beat Derby 2-1 last night, and Andre Gray's goal was an absolute beauty. Wasn't it, Petey?
It was very, 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 very beautiful.
Very beautiful.
And if you celebrate like that, and you take your top off, and you've got one of those lovely little GPRS bras on, all the better for me, quite frankly.
Do you think?
I think you should have to take that off as well.
Yeah.
I think it happened recently in a match, and it's like, and then presumably the data goes dark. Oh, on, yeah, Cyber Monday.
I heard that if you have the little sports bra and you don't get a booking.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be good.
You just can't expose your nips.
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, sometimes when you dress and if you're wearing an undershirt, but it's like a tatty undershirt.
No.
Because it fits the whole ensemble.
And yes. We can see what you're doing now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, exactly, yeah. But no, I quite like it. I feel like it's always a bit of a throwback to Brandy Chastain. Do you remember the American women's footballer who scored a penalty?
Oh, yes!
Took a shot
at the Rose Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It always reminds me of that when footballers do it.
Is that right?
Male footballers do it, yeah.
Not Fabrizio Ravanelli.
Well, no, because he never wore a bra, did he?
No.
Oh, but he sometimes had a vest on, did he not?
Oh, he did. He had a sleeveless number, didn't he?
When does a vest become a bra?
Find out.
Yeah, at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Vish, get on that now. Ralph Rangnick. Rangnick, he's been confirmed.
Unwreck it, Ralph. I love that. I can't remember who came up with it, but it was a few days ago.
He has been confirmed officially. We can now talk about it with a real purpose.
It was not his team selection at the weekend.
Definitely
it was not.
Not.
Definitely not.
Absolutely not.
And the fact that Ronaldo was on the bench to start had nothing to do with him.
Absolutely not.
And look, AirPods are comfortable. Yeah? Keep the cold out. It's fine.
Have we ever heard about a particular player and a particular tactic spoken so much with Ronaldo and pressing? It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. He's like, the anti-presser.
But I sort of think to myself,
why doesn't I have a toaster on his house? Disgusting.
it would all fall out.
It would all fall out. The cheese wouldn't be melted. Rubbish.
You can get one of those little bags that you make the sandwich. You put it in this little bag and you put the bag in a toaster.
Oh, mate, I used to have those and I used to cook fish fingers in them back in the day. Delicious and scampi. Oh, in the toaster. Mm-hmm. Takes fucking ages, but it is very lazy.
Well. So it's lazy and it takes longer.
Yes, it does. It's like when Bird's Eye potato waffles have suggested putting them straight in the toaster these days. So that's something that used to go on ages ago in my student house.
Oh, my goodness.
Honestly.
Like Schwarzenegger, ahead of his time.
Absolutely, yeah. All round Pete's for a fish finger. That's what they used to say. But you
have to order it 24 hours in advance. Yeah, give Peking duck.
Give plenty of warning. Manchester United, they've got old Ralph in, and he will bring a small number of his own staff into the club. Michael Carrick, along with the current coaching team, are to remain. I hope the chap who looks like Phil Neville remains, because whenever I see him, I think it is Al Fizzer on the bench, which is quite enjoyable. Harry Redknapp said about Rangnick's appointment before the announcement, said, "I've never heard of anything so stupid in my life."
Has he heard his court testimony?
I think so. Careful. And he reckoned that they should have stuck with Carrick. Well, in a way, they have. Haven't they, Peter? Carrick's still there. He's still picking his team.
Stuck with Carrick. All it took was one football match where they looked a little bit better than they did before.
And they're a little bit luckier than they were before. Yeah. You could say. Do you think that is the grand plan? Is it to give Carrick the job in the summer, Vish? Big Ralph lays the foundation and then Harry Redknapp gets his wish.
How would that work? So you're saying Carrick started, Rangnick comes in and fixes it up, and then Carrick comes and takes over.
Well, clearly, but Rangnick's only there till the end of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
So he is feathering the nest.
It's like a go-kart, isn't it?
He's feathering
your dad needs to help out sometimes.
Sort of.
Oh, but you get to ride it at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's fair. Down a hill until it crashes.
Everyone's thinking Pochettino, but I'm telling you, it's going to be...
I mean, no, please.
But that's what's going to happen. Let's not do this. But that's what's happening, isn't it? Rangnick's coming.
Well, the point of having his own, not bringing his own coaches is... Just a sensible move, really, because whoever's going to take over in the summer is going to bring their own coaches. And you might as well have some of the people who are staying around. And obviously, some of those United coaches who are currently there won't be here for the new regime. I wonder if Mike Phelan probably is someone who will who won't be at the club after the summer, depending on who comes in. Yeah, I suppose it would be, but you know, the game moves on, people move on. Carrick might be that facilitator between
But what do you think of this, though, with Rangnick? Because it has divided opinion. Graeme Souness, he's not convinced by Ralph's credentials.
There's a common theme, and it's the names of the people who are saying these things.
He says...
Have all pundits this year just figured out that it's all entertainment and they've just got to say stuff?
I think that's what it is, yeah. Well, he said that Manchester United need instant success and cannot wait for him to develop the structure at the club over the next few years. Now, I would say to Graeme that they have tried this with Louis van Gaal and Jose Mourinho. Why not just wait another few years to see? But he said it's a nice pension for him, 63 years old. It's lovely work if you can get it. And I thought, well, I mean, you know... It's an opinion.
It is an opinion, yeah. It's an opinion that I probably won't dwell on. But, I mean, within that, and I'm really meeting you more than halfway, there is quite an intriguing aspect to all this in that Rangnick clearly prefers the overseeing role rather than the managerial role. Rafael Honigstein was on Sky. Was on Sky on Sunday and mentioned about... You know, they mentioned about, I suppose, the gaps in his CV, quote unquote, because he stepped away from the game in the 2011, I think. And he said that, you know, if he continued, those gaps would have been filled. But he basically found a niche for himself. He liked being a kind of overseer and being top to bottom, sorter outer, as it were. Manchester United definitely need that. And I suppose if he can implement some of his ways, some of his techniques that have worked pretty damn well for a lot of other people, then I think it's very exciting times. And I suppose it will then, you know, bleed into how United hire and who United hire and how they go about that process. But that's only a good thing because they've been so scattergun about that previously anyway.
Yeah. And Peter, apparently he's got some interesting views on things. He believes that tattoos suggest players are not team players. And it's just that they want attention. Now, as our sort of tattoo correspondent, what do you got to say about that?
He doesn't like ink and he makes you think about football, about life. Ralph.
Okay.
A little song for you there.
They see, this is where the jingles come from, you see. He makes the players travel in company cars.
What does that mean? So you don't drive your own flashy...
You can rock up in your scooter.
Would you...
Foxtons. Like a little Foxtons.
Exactly.
Big hot dog car.
It's a big school bus. They just go around picking up all the players. That would be good.
So United would drive your own... So, like, Conte couldn't drive his little Mini around?
If it's not a company car.
Right. That's a really interesting thing.
Has he got a deal going on? Maybe. Is he on a fleet?
But it does suggest...
Why do we have to get through Enterprise?
there was a headline in a particular paper, like, Cristiano Ronaldo cannot drive his, you know, rocket car into the ground or something.
That'd be
like
Lisa's fucking problems when Ralph gets his feet under the fucking table. Noted Ronaldo agnostic.
He used to famously write off the company cars when he was a teenager at Manchester United. But does this suggest, though, with Ralph, this sort of uniformed approach? He does it from top to bottom in the club, maybe.
But I think it's quite an interesting little side point. I don't necessarily think it's specific to Manchester United, maybe just generally professional football at this moment in time. But it's a little bit like the principle of school uniform, where school uniform isn't actually, it's not just deliberately brought in as an inconvenience. Mm. It's a way that you can have, you know, I suppose, a uniform where it doesn't matter what level of affluence
it's a
your family are. Mm. Yeah, and therefore you don't ridicule, a kid won't be ridiculed for having worse clothes.
They find a way of it.
Yeah, they do. Give it a darn good go, don't they? but I suppose at that level, it's if Rangnick is going to play this kind of football, then it requires everyone to buy in and everyone to park their ego at the door to a point. And
apart from Ralph, big dogs here,
and maybe
he's
that's
got
literally
thrown on wheels.
That's all you park your ego and literally park your car at home.
So hang on a minute. So this is very interesting. So
they're all going to have the manager's car parking spot.
It could be. Well,
which one's mine?
So they've got this uniformed approach. We know that he's a lot of his philosophies initially came from Lobanovsky's Dynamo Kiev and so on. Is this the Marxist insurgency that we've all been worried about?
Yes.
The most capitalist club.
But it is interesting. He did take a lot of his ideas initially from sort of Lobanovsky, that kind of systemic pressing, if you see what I mean. So that's where the chat about Ronaldo comes in. All this chat about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, which Ronaldo doesn't press, is like, yeah, what do you think, Fred?
and you think Bruno Fernandes is pressing under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? You know, like, only now is that kind of chat relevant, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
But he got brought into the club at a time where you have to play him effectively because he's on a 2-year contract and you kind of have to play Cristiano Ronaldo because he's such a big sideshow.
Yeah, he's also Manchester United's best striker.
But the thing, I don't go. I personally think that a lot of the chat around Ronaldo has said this before. I'm like, he's still a phenomenal striker.
Because he does lots of numbers.
Is that right?
Probably.
You're all about the numbers, are you? Well, Ronaldo certainly, he wasn't there last night when the Ballon d'Or was announced.
I have one last thing to say about Ralf Rangnick,
do you?
By the way.
Okay.
Because he's German, yeah?
Mm.
And if he scores loads of goals, if United score loads of goals, would one of the headlines in Germany be Thor Rangnick? Like Thor Ragnarok?
Good God. Wow.
Because it was staring me in the face because I wrote it down before we started the show. And if I didn't say it, it would haunt me. And I'd rather it haunted me being out there than internally.
The thing is, like, I'd moved on. You dragged us back.
I did drag it back, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that ashamed.
Do a little song. Do it in song and no one notices. Thanks, Marcus.
That's all right. Yes, well, there we are. Thanks for that, Vic. Ballon d'Or.
I'm really helping it flow, aren't I?
Disruptive sod. Ronaldo, he wasn't there. He didn't travel to Paris. And apparently he hit out the Ballon d'Or chief, Pascal Ferrer, who said it's all lies that he's claimed that his career ambition is to finish with more awards than Messi. You're saying that now, Ronaldo, when you're on the bench?
But he's lying. He said it in numerous interviews. He said it on an interview with Piers fucking Morgan.
Yeah.
Like, you know, stop. Well,
and Morgan always gets the best and truth out of people.
Yeah. But he, like it's an absurd throwing your toys out of the pram by saying you're not going to throw your toys out of the pram.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and is it, it's not helped, is it, when Messi wins the award and then immediately says, Robert Lewandowski, you know, you should have had your first award last year and is, you know, hadn't suggesting other people should. But yeah, but he won it. The Eiffel Tower was lit up in tribute to Lionel Messi because obviously he's a PSG legend. But he's won he's won his seventh Ballon d'Or, which was quite incredible. But he was right, though, to mention Robert Lewandowski, who should have won the Ballon d'Or last year, but of course the whole thing was cancelled. Gary Lineker has also said that Robert Lewandowski should have won it. So if he, two glowing reviews, I think.
When you start
getting
the feeling that if he didn't win it this year over Messi, you're not going to win it at all, are you, really?
Yeah.
It is about lobbying.
True enough.
I don't believe in awards, personally.
Yes.
And we've always said that.
You'll never hear us mention an award.
Yeah.
No.
Absolutely not. But
I hate safe standing, by the way. I don't at all.
No.
I've not seen much of it. I don't care.
We were at an award show last night and we didn't win.
I wasn't.
No.
Don't believe in them, mate.
No. I didn't want to win six.
You silly sausage.
Oh, fans, will you vote for us? Pathetic.
Come along, gentlemen.
We do need them.
Lewandowski did win Striker of the Year, which is a new award. That was announced hours before the ceremony began.
Amazing.
What about that?
Resin would have been hot. So still hot.
So with this chap who calls Cristiano Ronaldo a liar. No, sorry, he claimed Ronaldo called him a liar, Big Pascal. Mm-hmm. Did he then say, Messi's got the Ballon d'Or, so we'll make sure that he's clear and away. But Lewandowski does deserve something. Right, we'll do the old make up an award for Scott McTominay, Jose Mourinho. Maybe that's what's happened there.
Yeah.
But he won it. He was the Striker of the Year, no doubt. But Messi, though, he won the Copa America. Finally, he said this actually. He suggested it could have been the best year of his professional life. It's all about that trophy for Argentina, Peter.
I guess so, yeah. I sort of forget that aspect of things. You know,
International football.
Yeah, I forget about international football. Donnarumma, great to see him winning the Levy Ashen, obviously.
Should have gone to Jordan Pickford. Saved as many penalties in that shootout.
Dear Lord.
Do you think they should... these particular awards are a bit silly. Like, any kind of individual award for a team sport is always going to be...
Well, you say that. So they've updated it. So another new award was Best Club. Which was obviously Chelsea.
Best club?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think so. So with regards to the individual stuff, yes. But I think the good people at the Ballon d'Or have heard the cries of the likes from yourself, Vish, and said, all right, let's give them best club. That should satisfy them.
Well, my idea was
actually... What are you thinking now? Are you going to go next year?
My idea was the...
Answer the question.
Was a second individual award, basically.
All right, best banter?
Yeah. You'd win.
I would.
But the
what
but
about the, Thor Ragnarok? Nick, would he win as well?
He should do.
Yeah, he should.
Yeah,
do.
Ahead of its time.
Go on then. So, what are you thinking then? Another.
So
one.
Basically, what I was thinking was that part of the you know, one of the three aspects that Ballon d'Or winner is judged on is general career, basically, like legacy almost,
lifetime achievement.
To a point, but also like, are they still playing well? How much of, you know, what they've done will affect their perception now and whatever? And you know, Messi absolutely falls into the bracket, even if I think Lewandowski was pretty unlucky. But do you not? It'd be nice, I think, or interesting at least, to have a basic single season award. Do you know, like in the way that
I get what you're saying.
Mario Jardel used to win the Golden Boot.
Yes,
and it was like, oh, that's quite cool.
Well, yeah. So this is it. So when it becomes sort of best player. Well, Messi's always going to beat someone like a Jardel or like Jack Grealish for Villa, for example. Do you know what I mean? Like a really important player for their club. And I sort of think, actually, should you base it on who's actually got the best quality? Because by their own standards, they may not have had a great season or a great year, because they do it in the sort of calendar year, which is a bit strange, isn't it? They need to change the timing of the award, but there we are. That's another gripe. But do you rate it? Oh, no, actually, that player for that club had a phenomenal season. And was so important to that club and was vital in them getting a Champions League spot or getting them or keeping them up in the league or something like that. Rather than, which would perhaps be your kind of season award.
Like basically.
Like sort of a player of the season sort of thing.
I think they should be the best person who can kick the award because it is a ball and it is heavy. And it should be the one with the hardest kick and the least fragile metatarsals.
Wouldn't that be? But if you're Lewandowski, that's cheating because you've got the golden boot, haven't you?
Oh yeah, you can put the golden boot on and kick the golden ball. Yeah, sorry, idiot.
Then, talking of legacy awards, all the previous winners of the golden boot every 10 years should have to kick the ball over the building that they're having the ceremony.
Yeah,
and whoever can do it gets the lifetime achievement.
Perfect.
Yeah, would that be?
Yeah. Frail old man. No, come on, granddad. The rest are going to take it away from you. Yeah. Don't look over there. Kick it.
Pele's brought his boot, hasn't he? Always does. Oh, dear.
I've done this 1,000 times, have you, though?
And the winner of the Levy Ashen has to fight a Black Panther.
Now you're talking. Let's see how good his hands are then. Anyway, speaking of Jack Grealish, as I just very, very briefly did, have you seen this? There's a calendar dedicated to Jack Grealish calves on sale this Christmas.
All right.
Which I would say is better than any award, quite frankly. It's got each month has a unique picture of his calves, and it's called The Wonderful World of Jack Grealish's Calves. The creator is a 69-year-old man called Kevin Beresford. And he said, the women can't seem to get enough, presumably of the calendar, rather than old Kevin himself.
Yeah. I mean, he's selling them on eBay by the looks of things. It's not right.
How unique.
He usually does like roundabouts and stuff, making his little calendars and stuff. Like roundabouts of Great Britain and stuff. But now he's gone for The Wonderful World of Jack
Grealish's
Cars.
It's a departure from roundabouts of Great Britain, isn't
it? I just hope he's licensed those pictures, to be quite frank.
God, yeah.
Can you imagine? Snafu. Handing back all that money.
You're such a party pooper, aren't you?
I just think IP should be protected.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's no need to phone the authorities after this.
No. Should we call HMRC? Actually, if anyone from HMRC is listening.
Yeah, get on this.
I imagine a man who's obsessed with roundabouts is probably very on his tax status. Good God.
Oh, dear me. All right, gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
How's your English accent? You know, because sometimes, you know, celebrities will live in England and then all of a sudden they come back with a little bit of an accent or some phrases.
My English accent's all right, I think.
Oh.
I can work on it a bit.
Wow, how about that's Christian Pulisic?
So good.
Yeah, how about that? Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right, it's time for emails.
Hello, Will, and thank you for your email. I have some answers for Lars and Kate regarding the Leicester bugle, which they talked about on Monday's show. It's not actually a bugle.
What?
It's a post horn. And the tune played is the post horn gallop, which I'm pretty sure has nothing to do with fox hunting. Indeed, Wikipedia says it was written in the 1800s by a German as a solo piece to be performed by a post horn with orchestral accompaniment. The tune has been played as the players enter the pitch at Leicester match at Leicester City since the 1930s.
How about that?
Also, turns out there's a website dedicated to the tradition. Not the slickest thing you've ever seen, mind.
No, I'm always relieved to see Pete post horn.
Post horn gallop. Yeah. Hard to pay after that. Anyway,
is that a bit like the walk of shame?
Oh dear.
Got a message from Mark following Kate's claim that 90% of body heat is lost through your head. Unfortunately, sorry to be that guy, there's always that guy around. This has been debunked. For example, see the British Medical Journal, and he's attached a link. As the BMJ explains, if this myth were true, humans would just be just as cold if they went outside without trousers. As if they went out without a hat, which sounds very much like a medical professional trying to square his bases off.
Yes, I'd say
he's been caught in the garden. Sean Dyche in a hat but no trousers in the show at Burnley. Should be December in his calendar for next year.
Yes. Oh, you see. Big Sean Dyche.
Silly.
He doesn't need to cover that head.
Silly
he just
Billy.
Needs to cover those bare legs.
Yeah.
Or take his trousers off.
Yeah.
Either or. We'd like to see it. Speaking of snow and all the rest of it, the Rangers fans throwing snowballs, which was talked about on yesterday's show at the Livingston goalkeeper. Did you see, just to add to that story, that Livingston manager David Martindale called those Rangers fans dough balls with snowballs.
It's beautiful.
Mm.
It's a lovely turn of phrase.
It is, yeah.
It's not quite an insult. Dough balls are quite nice.
I was going to say, it sounds like the sort of Pizza Express Christmas menu.
Yeah.
Lovely garlic boys.
Garlic, yeah. Garlic butter.
Garlic boys. Yeah, he said, we shouldn't be standing here talking about the dough balls with snowballs. I just don't understand it. It's on national telly and people are watching that, so come on. Screw the nut a wee bit. I know the majority of Rangers fans were not throwing snowballs, but it doesn't look good for anyone. It's going to give children ideas, Peter, because in this country, we have managed to banish throwing of snowballs, and now there could be an epidemic.
Exactly. Covered in snow, everyone. Yeah, you're right.
There we are. Shout out footballramble.com for that kind of nonsense. Now, tonight, everybody, two big games. Towards the bottom half of the table. Newcastle versus Norwich and Leeds versus Crystal Palace.
Oh.
Starting with, and we'll start with Leeds, Peter, if you don't mind, because I want to talk about old Bielsa. He's expressed some strong feelings about fixture congestion recently. He says he has serious doubts over the future of professional football because it's constantly commercialised and the product every time is constantly worse. How about this? Bring back the Coca-Cola Cup, I think, is what he's trying to say.
I mean, he's in a situation where he can't... His team, his squad is way too thin. Like, at the best of times, I think the Christmas may very well end him, to be honest. I think he might be leaving. Yeah. Can't be bothered anymore.
I don't know. Do you think every time that there's football gets a little bit more commercialised, it gets worse, Fish?
Probably, but we're told it gets better.
Yeah.
And I believe the power brokers, personally.
You believe Barclays?
Yes, yeah. Why would they lie to me?
Again.
They're in quite a weird predicament at the moment because they should have lost against Brighton on the weekend. And they, as Pete said, because of the size of their squad, the injuries are going to be more pronounced. So I think Ayling and Bamford are back. I think they're going to return.
They played for under-23s yesterday.
Right, oh, okay. Yeah. So they're going to be back at some point in December. But yeah,
they've got seven league fixtures in the next 29 days.
That's the same as most teams.
Probably, yeah.
If not all teams, actually. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
But you've got a manager that, I like him a lot, but he does put a lot of very stubborn trust into one particular system, and he doesn't care what players play in what position. You had like Calvin Phillips at the back, Dan James up top. Their running stats are incredible. So you sort of, it kind of hides the problems of that club because you sort of go, well, they're running stats, so they're still working hard for the manager. It's like, I think they're just running because they're in the wrong position. like, I've never played
where
him
do I
before.
Go?
I don't know where I'm going. Help me.
Yeah. That's a fair point. But I think we're all been surprised that they haven't burnt out Leeds. That was always the chat with Bielsa, with his teams and so on, even in the Championship when they were trying to get promoted, yet seems to have kind of plateaued off. Are you worried about old Bielsa, Vish? You know, is he losing his touch or whatever? Because, as I say, he would usually rag the players, you know, and now... I think it's
a bit of a confidence issue, because if you think about from the start, Bielsa's... Excuse me. One of Bielsa's greatest strengths was arming these players with top level self confidence.
Yeah,
and talking to them in a way that other coaches might not have, and emboldening them to play a certain way that they might think was beyond them.
Bamford and Phillips are two great examples.
Yeah, but you look around that team, and I think Dallas is an exceptional player and someone who's really lifted his level over the last couple of years. And I suppose you arm them with confidence. But when that goes away, suddenly everything does look a little bit laboured. Mm-hmm. And they look like they're second guessing themselves a lot on the pitch, which is never a good thing when you're playing in a system where you need to make short, sharp decisions very, very quickly, whether you're in or out of possession. And it's going to be harder to rectify the more the game's going on. You almost think they need a break and they almost need a... As much as they can get a mini pre-season. If he's there next year, he'll be laughing during the Qatar World Cup because he'll get it. But yeah, it does seem a bit of an issue. And I've mentioned this on the show before, that if you look at Bielsa's history with other clubs, there comes a point when he leaves, and it's often pretty much mid-season, if not maybe a bit earlier. And it seems to come from the fact that he looks at the problem and thinks, I'm not the man to fix this.
We shall see. Speaking of teams that need a win, Newcastle versus Norwich. Peter, you were at the Emirates to see Arsenal beat Newcastle 2-0 on Saturday. Eddie Howe on the touchline for the first time, so you saw him in the flesh.
Yeah, how did he get out? Like, he got a positive test, and then he was back at the touchline in 7 days. What's that about? Are you allowed to do that?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'd rather not speculate.
But it was good. I saw Mads Mikkelsen at the bar. He was at the bar. I got a free bottle of lager.
Did you?
In aluminium bottles. Oh,
you meant to pay for them.
I know. You should stall it. but you know, speaking of the Nordics, like Mads Mikkelsen.
Yes.
Newcastle United, bottom of the league. Mm. They're obviously going to be playing football tonight. Did the matchday programme really need an 8-page interview with Emil Kraft, the worst footballer in Newcastle United? 8 pages! The fans haven't suffered enough. 8 pages of Emil Kraft.
Is there anything in there that was good?
He is dreadful at football.
Yeah.
But
why he didn't get 10 pages.
but at the weekend, I thought it was really fun. And I think Newcastle United look, it's like night and day since it's not even Eddie Howe starting, it's Steve Bruce leaving the club. Let's make that very clear.
Yeah.
They look so much more into the battle, into the fight. Joe Linton looks like a completely different footballer. Mm-hmm. Also, Maximum was kept quiet because every time he got got the ball, there was like four players around him. I thought Arsenal played really, really well. What a side they've got, like, at the moment. Like, they are young. Tomiyasu's fantastic at right back. He's one of the few kind of wing backs that knows how to defend in the Premier League. It's really enjoyable. He kept a lot of our players quiet, and they're just going to get better and better. They're fantastic.
What did you think of Howe disagreeing with Rafa Benitez's sentiment that Newcastle had a short blanket, which is what he said when he was in charge, which I love that, which is when they attack Newcastle, it leaves the defence exposed, this idea that the blanket can't cover the whole team, which is a lovely little thing. But Howe said, stretching the blanket would be a better way of putting it.
So he admits the blanket's too small?
Well, he admits there's a blanket there.
Right.
Yeah. I say take the blanket off.
Wait till the summer, don't have a blanket at all.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Like, just like a thin sheet.
Yeah exactly. Like Pete Donaldson early in the morning, take the blanket off.
Yeah.
See what's
not
underneath.
The waterproof one.
Exactly. yes, indeed. Well, Norwich have picked up 7 points in their last three Premier League games, which is one more than in their previous 25. So they're turning the screw under
they
Dean
are.
Smith.
It's been quite, you know, as Pete said.
It's been a bit screw-turny recently, hasn't it?
Very bit screw-turny, yeah.
Maybe Manchester United might follow.
Yeah, hopefully,
How
yeah.
How about
that? Tor Ragnarok. Yeah. but yeah, as Pete was saying, that you know, Bruce—it's more Bruce leaving than Howe coming in and affecting things at the moment. Mm. And I suppose it's harder to say with Norwich that you know it would be the same with Farke leaving and Smith coming in. But there's an incredible stat doing the rounds on the weekend for Norwich City that they restricted Wolves to 5 shots on goal, which is the lowest number of attempts on their goal that they faced in any of their 241 Premier League games this century. That's Blimey. Absurd. And you kind of think, how has he done that? That's remarkable, yeah.
Well, yeah, you see. There you are, you see. Gentlemen, before we move on to some important news coming out of Japan, Peter.
Hello.
We reserved this for you and me, baby. Reading beat Swansea 3-2 on Saturday. Andy Carroll on the score sheet. Come on. Danny Drinkwater on the score sheet as well.
About the years.
But Andy Carroll, it's good to see him, isn't it?
It's good to see him score on goals. I've always liked him. I always think he provides something very different when he can get on the field.
Great plan B.
30 minutes in, he scored. Who's starting Andy? Yeah. Who's doing that? Well, you'll burn him out.
You either play him for the first 30 or the last 30. Depends on
where
you...
Just put one log on the fire at a time, right?
No, that's not what they're expecting. They won't know what's hit them.
He's a short blanket footballer, isn't he?
Very much so. Very much so. Yeah. Apparently, he celebrated by doing a rowing motion with the corner flag, which was some reference to a bizarrely animated pre-match speech from the Reading manager. So quite strange. Mm. If you were wondering what on earth that was all about, Paunovic said that no individual comes before the team and described the club as a boat. Everyone needs to pull together to drive them forward. And he demonstrated this by getting on the floor and starting to row, with the players joining him in his metaphoric boat on the changing room floor.
Wow. Water everywhere, but not a drink water to drink water.
What was that? What's that daft thing that happens at student unions?
Is it... Oops, upside boat your head.
Did he play that?
Yeah.
And everyone went, all right. Get involved.
Also, you wouldn't want to be the last one to get in the boat, but you also wouldn't want to be the first one to get in the boat behind this man who's just decided to sit on the floor.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. Anyway, gentlemen, let's finish with this. We go to Japan. Yokohama FC were officially relegated from the J League on Saturday.
Oh.
Which means King Kazu and Shansuku Nakamura will no longer be starring in the top flight. King Kazu, of course, is 54 years old, and Nakamura is only 43, so he's still got a few years left. Peter, what do you reckon of this? We won't see old Kazu in the top
five. Yeah, well, he might get more cup matches, to be honest, from J2. Yeah.
Is he a cup player, is he?
He only comes on for a little bit. It's a sideshow. It's a joke, Marcus. It's an absolute nonsense. It's the same way, like, I think...
Is it as bad as Andy Carroll?
Under COVID, a prefecture got given something like £200,000, you know, so many million yen, and they spent it on a big statue of a squid, and they went, that was for COVID relief.
Oh, right.
Don't spend it on a big squid. But then loads of tourists turn up to look at this big fucking squid, so who's the joker now?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just every little town's got a little kind of sideshow. Someone's got a bit of scenes. But J2's really interesting because all about my the club that I kind of half follow, because all the matches are at 4 o'clock in the morning. Ventfrakofu, they started an incredible run to the playoffs. They could have basically they won four matches mm-hmm. and they were a point away from automatic promotion. Oh. It's flipping terrible. But Peter Yutaka, my other favourite ex-Vent Pro Kofu player, he's gone up with Kyoto Sanga, 40-70. He's just having a lovely time out there. I love Peter Yutaka. He's That's ancient. Decent. And Jay Bothroyd's left Hokkaido in Consoli Sapporo. He's one of those footballers who was quite vocal. He always has got like Honda, you know, the ex Japan international who, mm-hmm. so, who's not, I don't think he's played in Japan for about 20 years. No, or the
Blood Street Fighter 2, yeah. What's his beef?
But he's a big Toyota man.
But he's really kind of like quite, he talks quite a lot. He writes lyrical about how lovely Japan is to live, and he's yeah. really got it. He doesn't really, he's not there, he's there for a payday because he's Jay Bothroyd, but he's like, he talks about how, what the standard of living is like, and he approached that project with exactly the right amount of vigor, I think.
Oh, that's lovely when you hear that.
Yeah, it is nice. It is nice. It's like all those kind of like megastars who joined Vissel Kobe a couple of years ago, and it's not gone amazingly well for them, although I think they won the Emperor's Cup a little while ago. It's, I like footballers who kind of get it a little bit and they kind of take everything to heart because Japan's just such a great place to live.
Yeah.
No, I swear, if you're a man.
It's a lovely.
Or a footballer.
That's a lovely roundup of Japanese football there, Peter. We appreciate that. Remember Everybody is a brand new episode of our new women's football show Up Front, which is out today on Football Ramble Presents. Flo, Rachel and Chloe are discussing the latest international fixtures and looking ahead to the FA Cup final this weekend. Get over to Football Ramble Presents for that. There we are, everybody. We've come to the end of the Football Ramble today. Thank you for listening to today's Football Ramble, a part of the Acast Creator Network, of course. On tomorrow's show, Pete, you're back with Hello. Jules and Jim.
Yes. Yes, that will happen. Yes,
we've got confirmation there, everybody. So do tune into that. I know you like to tune your podcast feeds into that. Ooh. So there we are. Thank you very much for Tushin.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody. See you very soon.
So I just got a text.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.